Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Guardians' win last night, which I went from mother-bleeping Cade Smith, and with a lot of people in my house sleeping, by the way.
Yeah,
and
as Kerry Bonds hit another home run.
Into, I can't watch this. I'm not going to do this to myself. It's too late. Into turning the game immediately back on. Into turning it off. The probably eighth inning on, I probably turned the game off and on 10 times last night. And immediately, only to just be like, I gotta see what happens.
Yeah, so I had an interesting moment last night. I was pushing Charlotte's bedtime a little bit later and later. And usually if I'll take her upstairs, I'll change her diaper and everything like that. And then I'll keep the phone with me and the game with me. Mm-hmm. But I pushed it in such a way that there was actually two outs in the ninth. And I for some unknown reason was like, this is a different Cade Smith now. He's got it. He's locked in. He's figured out the closing role.
Yeah, that's what you say
we'll be fine. I kid you not. I wish I could. I was like, the game's over. Even though I made the Kerry Bonds joke in my head once again because he just continues to hit home runs. And I'm like, it's we're good. And she needs that diaper changed. I got to do it. And so I went upstairs. And then I went upstairs. And by the time I got upstairs to be able to like put the TV on over there in that room, bang, biscuit, there we are.
Yeah, I got kicked out of the bed last night because of the game. Because at one point in the, and it wasn't even in the ninth inning, which obviously went.
Getting comfy with that leather couch?
I did, let me tell you.
Yeah, are we using the Guardians game as an excuse when in reality it was for the photo on Facebook?
Well, she did. She found out. She came down, saw what happened, and then, you know, she joined in. No, and so I was like, I got up a couple times because I was sitting up in bed and I was already kind of fidgety because I get very fidgety during baseball games. Not so much in the NFL.
Okay.
I don't know as much because I'm sitting in my office chair watching. And the only clue that I have that I'm super fidgety is Mongo comes over because he senses my anxiety. And he's like, comes over to be like, you okay, bud? Like,
yeah, that kind okay. of
thing. Well, Mongo is downstairs, so I was very keenly aware. Because Vanessa just kept commenting of like, dude, you're kicking the bed. Like, your feet are shuffling. And then finally, at one point, I got up and I was like, okay, let's do this. And finally, she's like, can you just go downstairs? Because I really can't sleep. And it's been a long week already. Can you just? And I was like, yeah, that's totally fair. And that's when the turning on and turning the game off started. But no, it's a great win by the Gardos. Now you're 5.5 games back. We'll have a full update later in the show as well. The update on the Browns thing continues to be, I don't know why we're making a story out of this. And I'm talking about this from the Browns side of things. Because, there was the confounding situation. Did they bench DeJuan Jones in favor of KT Leviston on Sunday? Did they not? Kevin Stefanski, after the game, claimed that it was heat-related. All right? And then there was also the Denzel stuff,
yeah,
where Denzel was asked about it. And it was heat-related. That was the big story. So Stefanski again, this is Stefanski talking before DeJuan Jones and Denzel Ward talk today, reiterating that it was not, at least the Jones thing, not a benching.
Again, that's heat related. We'll see what the temperature looks like coming up.
Can you sort of explain what was going on with him? I know it was cramping, yeah. But and he's young, he's healthy.
I would tell you, it was warm. These guys, you can fight those, and a lot of our players are excellent athletes, but that heat can certainly cause those type of things.
Now, heat-related things are very serious, so there's nothing to snuff at.
We kind of have snuffed at it for the past couple days because it was 75 degrees.
It was a hot 75, though. And
75.
I think people in Baltimore on the ground said it was a hot 75.
Like, there's people wearing long-sleeve shirts in the crowd when they went to the images.
But when you think of heat-related things, you think of cramps, you think of dehydration, you think of you know, potentially even more serious things like heat stroke. And so DeJuan Jones was asked about the decision not to play him earlier today. And again, this was after Stefanski spoke. Here's what DeJuan said.
I wasn't dehydrated. It was just coach's precaution to take me out. It was nothing, you know, wrong with me. He just wanted to make sure I was okay for the rest of the game. Honestly, it was just up to Coach Stefanski. You know, there's nothing I really can control.
Okay. So you weren't cramping. I believe he also reiterated later that he wasn't, like, he didn't feel dehydrated.
Yeah, no, he's calling Stefanski a liar is what he's doing here. Which I kind of appreciate from his side of things to stick up for himself and be like, I'm not going to just let you put it out there that I had some sort of heat warning you're the one that just took me out of the game.
No, I just got benched. Is that better?
Well, you know, I think so. Stefanski's trying to protect him. Clearly, he's trying to protect him. Mm-hmm. But if I'm DeJuan Jones, I think I want the actual answer on record, not the idea. Because if he's... I'm not saying he's already trying to audition for other teams or anything like that, but if he...
It is the NFL. That's
a fair
point.
It's the NFL, and so if he has to go to another team, and the other team's like, wait, it's 75 in Baltimore, and you can't even... You got heat issues? What's going on? How out of shape are you?
I don't know. Do we consider the Jones thing and the Ward thing combined? Because, again, Denzel also disappeared for plays and stretches at a time, and I would be shocked if the best cornerback or one of the top five cornerbacks in football was getting benched.
Yeah, no, so he's not, and he's not getting benched.
So
obviously.
That's almost like that is where, like, plausible deniability comes in. It's like, because Denzel,
I almost wonder if that's where Stefanski got it from, though.
Oh, if he just copied and pasted.
Uh-huh, 100%.
That we were on the same page there. On that one.
But like that, yes, so of course. He's like, all right, so if it happened to Denzel, then I could say it happened to just about anybody. I don't know how many different ways DeJuan Jones can tell you he didn't have any sort of heat-related issues. That was Stefanski benching him.
I'm very confused by this. And I don't know how you really protect DeJuan in any way by saying... I honestly think you help the player more if you were just like... We didn't like what we saw out of DeJuan. He was struggling. We wanted to give him a breather, and so we put Leviston in, and we wanted to see what Leviston had. By the way, still a Herculean dumb idea. You do that in practice. Well, Baltimore freaking Ravens.
Maybe that's what he's trying to...
Oh, is he protecting himself?
Yeah, think about it, because then Leviston got the penalty, and then they just yanked him right back out. It's like, if Leviston hadn't gotten that penalty, he might have played the rest of the game, and then maybe in that instance, Stefanski's like, well, it worked out well for us. He turned out to have a pretty good game, and so I guess I will take credit for that benching. But Leviston got the penalty, and I think he was just like, all right, that was a dumb idea. Let's go back to DeJuan now.
So the coach said the same thing twice. DeJuan Jones says that wasn't the case. And now we're left with this position of, like, I don't really know how to move forward with this, just that I think it needs to be on the record that it's apparent their message isn't the same, and DeJuan Jones would like it on the record that this was not heat-related. Because I guess he'd rather be bad at his job than a wuss.
I think it's good that we just acknowledge the idea that, once again, for the millionth time, Stefanski sat at a podium and just lied straight to our face.
Because I will be honest with you, because I think Kevin was even asked, like, yeah, rolling forward, okay, can we expect more heat-related issues? And he's like, we'll see.
Well, poor DeJuan's like, I don't even know, is this going to happen again on Saturday or on Sunday?
Yeah.
He's like, I can't predict heat issues, but if that's what he thinks, then I guess I'll just be out of the game.
So we all want this to kind of be a quorum here. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers. This is a audience participation part of this, so we do want to hear your voice on this. I think we have enough proof here to soundly reject Kevin Stefanski's repeated assertion that this was heat-related, at least with DeJuan specifically, and that opens up the can of worms about DeJuan's play and why he would be singled out for playing poorly at left tackle when Cornelius Lucas didn't play particularly well. And quite frankly, I think the guards played better, but really, I still think the only guy that I'm really confident about through two games is Wyatt Teller.
Well, this is back-to-back weeks of DeJuan Jones being the worst player on that offensive line.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's not even close.
And my rebuttal would be, did you think he was magically going to be Joe Thomas moving over there? Like, unless you just have lost faith in the transition to this point, which would be shockingly early in this plan, since it was the entirety of your plan this offseason. You didn't really bring any true competition in for DeJuan on the left side. Cornelius Lucas was here as a swing tackle. The Leviston guy was brought in the 11th hour. And again, he was like a journeyman dude. Like, he wasn't like a draft pick or anything interesting. He's just a dude. He's just a system fit.
Yeah.
Two games would be incredibly early, no matter how DeJuan has looked. Two games would be incredibly early to bail on DeJuan at left tackle.
Well, almost, it looked like he did it within a game and a quarter.
And so I think that's where, like, honestly, I would almost rather the truth be that DeJuan Jones had heat issues on Sunday. I might be able to wrap my head more around that than just bailing on DeJuan.
This kind of feels like
point.
A Jedrick Wills situation where we've had times where Stefanski says something and then Jedrick Wills in the locker room afterwards is like, that's not how that went down.
Uh-huh.
And like every now and then you get with these offensive linemen, they'll be the ones to tell you, like, this is not the right accounting of this for whatever reason. And in this instance, I mean, this is as clear as the day is long. DeJuan Jones wants it on the record. That's not why he was out of the game.
Well, and I think the reason that it matters is if you continue to, I don't believe at offensive tackle, I don't think you should be rotating players in and out, especially at left tackle early in the season. I think the number one thing that can get this offensive line to go where it needs to go, I think, is continuity. And that includes players like DeJuan playing through mistakes. And if it's effort issues, then you should say it. If it's we just don't think he's good, which I would be surprised, because well, that's not the thing that I'm used to with DeJuan.
No, but I wonder if, because DeJuan lost so much weight, and obviously, you know, when you're a bigger guy and you're over 400 pounds like he was previously, you're going to probably have heat issues that rise up quicker than most people. I wonder if this is him, like, in a response being like, I lost a lot of weight. Like, it's not, I could see where maybe you thought it was an issue last year at certain times, but it was not an issue in that game. And obviously stopping short of just saying I flat out sucked. But yeah, I would bet in this instance, this is DeJuan wanting to clear it up because he doesn't want Stefanski to go to that well consistently, and then it become the trend that DeJuan just can't stay in games because of heat issues.
216-474-0092. Is Stefanski helping or hurting DeJuan with the approach of saying it's heat-related, and then DeJuan Jones saying, well, I wasn't cramping and I wasn't dehydrated, they were just looking out for me? They just thought you sweat a lot? Some people just sweat a lot. I would just say that.
Some people do sweat a lot. I'm not one of those people, by the way.
I am. Yeah, like a wildebeest.
I don't sweat that much.
I think a wildebeest sweats a lot. Do you think?
I'm not sure.
I
don't know wildebeest fun facts.
Yet. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. We've got Ashley Bastock of Cleveland.com. We'll talk about Heatgate. Work on the naming. Ashley's joining us at 3:20, Cleveland.com, as she does every single Wednesday. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, this close to shouting us out. This close. We're going to play that. We're going to talk to Ross also. Maybe some concern about the 2026 quarterback class. And then Aditi Kinkabwala, the always great Aditi Kinkabwala. It's 6 o'clock tonight. We'll take her temperature on the 0-2 Cleveland Browns. Is it time to panic? We'll get her take on Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh, since she lives in Yinzer territory, and so much more. But 216-474-0092. Is Stefanski helping or hurting DeJuan with this approach? After hearing DeJuan, I have more doubt that this was heat-related. And Jerry Judy says, watch the film. Did Jerry watch the film? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. DeJuan Jones, Denzel Ward, 75-degree temperature, some heat issues for the Browns. And the Denzel thing's tough because you wouldn't expect him to have heat issues, but yet he did. And I don't know that he would be in any danger of benching. The DeJuan stuff's just really interesting because DeJuan coming out and being like, I had really no symptoms. None of the traditional symptoms that you or I would associate with heat warning. That does cast into doubt Kevin Stefanski's part when he comes out and says, oh, just heat-related issues.
Well, it's just a reminder to everyone that listens. Like, Stefanski's not under oath when he does these things.
Yet.
Oh, now that's a spin.
Oh man, we could get Tony Busby in it.
Coach that, under oath.
That bastard can't get enough
CBS
publicity.
Drama. And so, like, he's not.
Maybe he'd stop suing NFL teams.
He can lie as often and as much as he wants, but that's the cool thing about where someone like DeJuan Jones, and, you know, I think most players would feel like intimidated almost to be like, well, I got to go along with what they say. I got to go along with what the head coach is saying and putting out there. I have to fall in line or it's going to look bad on me or whatever. And I actually kind of respect the idea that DeJuan Jones wanted to set the record straight and want to put his own story out there.
If I was 6'8", 360 pounds, I'm one of those things. But if I was 6'8", 360 pounds and named, I just wouldn't be intimidated by much there. Now, Anna Marie is joining us here to maybe shed some light, rather, on the heat in Baltimore on Sunday. What can you tell us there, Anna Marie?
Hi there. Hello. My 22-year-old was there, and she usually deals with the heat pretty well. And she said she was in a lower bowl, shorts and T-shirt, and she was dying. So I don't know if the sun was hitting him pretty hot or what, but she said she was like right behind. She may have been on Baltimore's sideline, I think. She said that she was pretty hot.
So maybe, Anna Marie, maybe the problem here is that Stefanski assumed because DeJuan was playing so poorly that it has to be heat-related issues. But then DeJuan is like, that's not the case. Yeah, maybe he looked at it from like what your daughter is telling you. It's like, oh, it's so hot. And then Stefanski's like, well, he looks so bad. It's got to be heat-related. I'm going to help him out here.
Right. Who knows? I didn't know she was texting me as I was watching the game, and she's like, I think I'm dying here. And I'm like, you're not really dying, but that's okay.
Anna Marie, very good stuff. We thank you for chiming in there. I would like to point out, not all 75-degree temperatures are created equal.
No.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure DeJuan Jones just got benched.
Yeah, I mean, it's 75. It's fine. He's more than I'm sure he's more than fine. And it's a clever way of Stefanski trying to make it seem like he didn't bench him, when in the reality, I think it's Stefanski just trying to save his own behind.
Yeah, I think Stefanski is now triple down.
You know he will. And
yeah, I mean, but be more defiant this time.
Would be really funny if this became like an ongoing trend, though, where it just like, even like, it could be like December where there's snow on the ground and he's like, ah, well, that heat really got to DeJuan, did it not? You're like, you're gaslighting us now, Kevin.
I'm actually just gonna start doing that for like Harry. Well, that show wasn't good that day, Nick. I was like, it's heat related. It was 12 degrees outside.
They're like, Nick, you're in air conditioning.
Yeah, but the extreme cold dysregulated my body temperature, and so I got super hot inside. It's very scientific. Now, other gripes that have come out. We talked a little bit yesterday about Jerry Jeudy and his kind of the disappearing act outside of the one great catch against Baltimore. I'm not as concerned. I shouldn't say I'm not as concerned. I am a little concerned. But, like, the only concern I have, I don't think Jerry lost his superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Jerry stopped being a good receiver. Now, it should be noted that Jerry had a lot of success, arguably his best season, statistically, absolutely
his best season
in the NFL, in a different offense that he's playing in now. And for wide receivers, we don't think about system and we don't think about requirements, but it absolutely matters to each wide receiver what system you play in and what they're being asked to do, and going from one system to another can absolutely stymie some of your production.
I mean, it's just obvious, right? Like, if you're going in one system where they let you just bomb it deep consistently, and that's what happened last year with Jameis. Jameis was able just to throw it out there as often and as far as he possibly could. That's going to be much different than what they're currently trying to do with Joe Flacco, where his average depth of target has been like 5 yards.
Yeah, so Jerry Jeudy was asked about his struggles at the wide receiver position, his lack of production so far, and it is fair to say he got fully Shedd-ed today.
I watched the game.
Did you watch the film or you watched the game?
I did not watch the film. So, did they not have you guys covered there?
Watch the film to come back.
I'm going to ask you, though, what can you guys do to get more separate?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Just keep running routes.
I got to tell you, one, Jeff just did not get discouraged at all, and I love every bit about it.
He powers through.
Yeah, he really does. And I just love it because he doesn't take it personally, which I do think, and I don't think he gets in his own head about that. And I think that really like is an underrated thing that every beat needs. So I love that.
Would have really had him on his toes, though, if he'd been like, I've dissected the all 22 and I still stand by my statement.
He should have lied. He's been like,
the lie was probably the right call in that setting, right?
But see, the problem is the lie is then you got to have one really clean example of, I thought you came out of your break on that 3rd-and-2 play and you look lost.
Not really hard to find one. You probably could just go in your brain and just gather one out. There was enough of them that we saw.
We're in a weird spot with Jerry because I'm not really particularly concerned about him specifically. I'm more concerned about Cedric Tillman. I'm more concerned about The rest of the young receivers, I'm more concerned about David Njoku looking like he has got cement shoes on. I'm more concerned with the fact that Joe Flacco really, 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 really challenged his inner bad Joe Flacco this last weekend. I also think it's kind of a chotch response from Jerry Jeudy. You don't need to watch the film. You don't need to watch the tape to know you didn't have a great game on Sunday.
Yeah, that's it. You didn't need the all 22 breakdown to be like, hey, Jerry, you weren't at your best. And like, listen, we've accepted the drops from Jerry, led the league in the NFL last year with drops, but just watch it continue. And then really outside of that one nice play that he had, it has not been a good Jerry Jeudy experience so far.
Yeah, well, and I don't know
how much of that is on him and how much of that is on the quarterbacks and the line and everything else.
I actually do tend to think this is some quarterback stuff we're dealing with. And again, we can get to this part later. Like, I think it's really, really hard to beat Joe Flacco right now. And we can get into that later. I think I would be really shocked if he didn't feel pressure of knowing that this season isn't about him, knowing he's not guaranteed half a season, let alone a full season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's being put into a check down Charlie kind of role, and that's not really Joe. So that being said, I think it's more on Joe than anything else. But with Jerry, we've got this. We've got him giving fans in Baltimore the double bird.
Which we liked.
Which I can't say I didn't like, but then you got blown out, or you were on a team that got blown out. And he had one really outstanding play. And by the way, it was an outstanding play, Jerry. I mean, good gravy. We haven't talked about it enough. And then he was part of the talk too much Browns last week that then got blown out. So there's a lot there. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's all something. I don't know. I don't need any of it adds up to a big deal. But when you're,
it's not just the week two gesture. Obviously, he had the week one taunting fine as well. Remember, fined almost $12,000 for the taunting thing that he did in Cincinnati. This is almost like a Grant Delpit situation where it's like it wasn't just week two that he did things. You got to go back to week one as well and just kind of go back in your memory bank and see where it exists. And Jerry's always been this way in many respects. That's why Schlereth rips him anytime he comes on and talks about
the Steve Smith thing.
Although
I put that more on Smitty. I didn't put that entirely on Jerry.
There's been like three different Instagram things I can go to when it comes to Jerry Jeudy, at least when he was in Denver, though. That was a little questionable at best, even if I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But the point is that he's going to do these things. These things are always going to pop up with him.
So what I think is interesting, though, is Jerry would be one of the guys that I'm looking at and saying, if the you-know-what hits the fan, where's Jerry at? Because I don't think a Jerry is one of the big divas in the NFL. But, I mean, if you're not getting production, if you're frustrated with the offense or the quarterback play, which, I mean, he's got to be because he's a professional and he's, you know, he wants to have a Ja'Marr Chase type season. And all of a sudden you're frustrated being 0-2 and you are more of a, I don't want to say boisterous. I don't know that that's the right word, but you're unafraid of the emotions of the moment. Like, he's one of the guys. Miles is too, by the way. Like, Miles being like, this bleep is embarrassing. That's not the verbiage you use in week two.
I know, but so the only saving grace I would have for Jerry is that we watched him go through what is the worst situation imaginable last year, and he not only, I thought he raised his play towards the second half of the season. I really did. I mean, obviously the Denver game was personal for him, so there was always going to be some sort of output there. That's 235 yards. The Kansas City game, 2 weeks after that, he went over 100 yards. He had, I think, three different 100-yard games in the last 9 weeks of the season. Like, he was, that was the best version of Jerry when bleep hit the fan.
Yeah, but do you, no. Fair. I would also say at a quarterback and fit the system. I don't trust this situation. And it's not that I don't trust Jerry. It's just I think this season can get a different kind of bleak because of how. And again, the Browns, if they win or keep it super competitive on Sunday, can tilt the thing back closer to the right direction. But you can only go off of what you got. And I worry about Kevin being the leader to reach this organization. That's been my biggest criticism of Kevin to this point. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great offensive coordinator. I'm not sure about everything else. So I'm worried about the leadership around him. I think it's the perfect storm of a really good player being on a putrid offense and being relied on far too much, which is going to hurt his production and probably hurt his patience a little bit. And I think you could potentially lose at a level that is really, really hard to get through. And where other guys might fake it, I don't think Jerry's going to fake it.
No, I agree with that. There's just not a fake bone in his body.
This is almost like a temperature check of like, I'm not concerned today, but it's kind of like the Dwan thing. Like, all right, I don't know that either of these are the biggest things in the world, but you kind of got to put it on the record because these are the kind of things that, wasn't that curious? Wasn't it curious turns into a four-alarm fire real quick here?
It'll be interesting to see how his mentality has shifted from one year to the next. I remember he wanted out of Denver. He got his wish, and then he got the money paid instantaneously by the Browns. But he hadn't had a 1,000-yard season yet, and he was still fighting for a lot of respect around the NFL. Then he had that 1,000-yard season last year, and it felt like he did get a lot of WR1 treatment in many ways. And so I do think there's a different mentality for him that can go sideways if you start a season off rough. There's no denying that.
And I think it's interesting. I think there's still a lot of debate whether Jerry can be a number one receiver.
I question it.
And no, I think everyone should. And again, I think that's more based off the quarterback than Jerry, but there's still some of Jerry in that. By the way, talk about an all-time. There should be a 30 for 30 on Jerry Jeudy quarterbacks. I mean, as we roll back, he had Joe Flacco now. He had, DTR. He had Jameis. He had Deshaun. Then you have Russell Wilson. Yeah. I want to say, was there a Trevor Siemian in there? Or am I thinking of the wrong generation of sucky Broncos quarterbacks?
Yeah, but you got to get a Paxton Lynch.
There's a Teddy Bridgewater in there. Honestly, we're just saying quarterback names. He had a lot of crappy quarterbacks in Denver and two bad years of Russell Wilson. I continue to go, that player's probably better than we think he is.
With the Nat Hackett era.
Oh, my gosh, that poor...
Basically got the job because Aaron Rodgers was trying to hire him because they played bags together. And then it was like, well, all right, so we can't link that up. So here, go to Denver. You're going to have fun in Denver.
And then...
Russell take you.
And then Aaron...
Then he was bad. And then Aaron, they linked up anyway.
And then Aaron didn't go to Denver.
Yeah.
216-474-0092. So we'll start here. Is the quarterback play holding the wide receivers back or vice versa? Is it the wide receivers more holding the quarterback play? I think it's quarterbacks. I do. And that's no disrespect to Joe, because I think it's more than just quarterback. But I don't know. I still think Jerry can be a really, really... I think he is still a really, really nice player. I just worry about putting him in this cauldron of suck and what it might mean. I'd hate if he's one of the collateral victims. What I mean by that is it gets to a spot where it's untenable, kind of like Odell was, and then you kind of got to throw him out as part of the rebuild, because I think he's still
on the table.
Enough.
It's always on the table with these wide receivers, though. And once it goes south, it can go south quick.
I think Kevin Stefanski has stumbled upon the fix for the offense. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angels.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski was asked about how the Browns offense can get righted, and he delivered this absolute right on the dot. It was a dot, not a shadot, but a dot, and delivered this gem.
You have to play well in the run game. You have to play well in the pass game. You have to stay on the field and score points, and certainly have not scored enough points the last couple games.
Preach.
And it's really incumbent on us as a team to play complementary team ball.
Compliment. Can you confirm that you have to play well in the run game and play well in the pass game to have a good offense?
Well, so Coach Riz actually fell into a Stefanski kind of line that he always uses last night when we had him on, and I almost was like, Coach, you got to get that out of your lexicon.
Yeah.
Marrying the run and the pass. Yeah. We didn't do a good enough job. We got to marry the run and the pass.
They're just engaged right now.
Yeah, we need.
But we got to really get them.
Get them one of those rings, and let's marry that run and that pass together.
It seems like the run and pass are having commitment issues.
Yeah.
It's like, honey, you're in your late 20s. You're not going to find anybody better than the pass game at this point.
That's not what the run game's therapist tells her, actually.
That's
it says,
true.
You know what? You found a good one right here.
Yeah.
There's not that many fish out in the sea.
This is so close to the Pat Shurmur. And that is, like, I think Kevin has had more success than Pat did as a head coach in both of Pat's stops. So it's fair to assume that Kevin is a better head coach than Pat Shurmur. But I'll be damned if I don't hear. If recently I haven't heard a lot of Pat Shurmur coming out, and that is not like when he's saying things or not saying things.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
It's just too close to the sun with Pat Shurmur.
It'd be different if I thought he was different away from the mic. But I think he's the same way away from the mic, and that's kind of the problem I have right now.
I actually think, I don't know, I've heard he's pretty engaging.
I've heard that too. I have no evidence of it, though. I've never had a player.
We haven't been invited to the shindig yet. We haven't been shamed by Ed Stefanski yet.
Apparently. Because I've even like our conversations with Stefanski off the air, just between us and him, though, there's never been anything that has been like, whoa, that is different than the Stefanski we see in front of a mic.
We bonded over Pearl Jam, so it's different for me.
I've never seen it. But also, I've never talked to a player or anyone like that either that's been like, oh, yeah, he really, that's night and day. I'm just convinced. I think he just is who he is 24/7, and that's there's a lot of coach speak there, and that's fine.
Omaha! But you got to marry the run of the pass.
You got to marry the run of the pass.
Don't be a jabroni.
Colin Coward had this take on Jim Harbaugh potentially being the best coach in both NFL and college history. Here we go.
Football's different. There's the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and then there's the College Football Hall of Fame. But I was thinking this morning that if you combined it like basketball, and it was just there was a Football Hall of Fame, you could count college and pro, I would make an argument today the greatest coach in the history of football is not Bill Belichick or Bill Walsh or Vince Lombardi. It's Jim Harbaugh, the greatest coach ever. He's never failed. He's 5-for-5 at San Diego, Stanford, San Francisco 49ers, Michigan, and the Chargers. He's never failed.
So I agree with the idea that he's never failed, and he does. He instantly comes into places, and then he makes them be great. There's no other way to look at it. I got a hard time with this one, though. Like, we have coaches that have done both college and pro. Pete Carroll, Barry Switzer. We have guys that have won the titles at both stops. Harbaugh has never even won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think for Jim to claim this mantle, and I actually think it is closer than we think, because I'm really impressed with what he's done with the Chargers.
I love Jim Harbaugh.
I hate how much I love Jim Harbaugh.
I do. I like him a lot. I really do.
Paul Brown won a high school championship, an NCAA championship, and several NFL championships. Jimmy Johnson was the 1987 national champion at Miami and then won multiple rings in Dallas. Those guys are the front runners. I'm saying, like, all of a sudden we've got a way. Oh, by the way, Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll.
I said Pete Carroll because he's won at both levels. But it doesn't even have to, like, I would even think just Belichick's 6 rings at the pro level.
Nope.
Takes over anything that you don't have to do a college and a pro in that regard.
I think so.
It just trumps it all. Like, you just achieve so much.
I think
Andy Reid's in that category too.
I think there's who's the greatest in the pros, who's the greatest in the college, and then who's the greatest to do both.
No, I think it just is. I mean, he's trying to make the case for greatest coach ever. So, like, he's including both because it helps out the Harbaugh cause.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you include both scenarios into this, like, sorry, what Belichick did in the NFL and what Andy Reid's done in the NFL, it just trumps anything you could do at both levels.
Would disagree.
Me.
I think it's so much harder. Well, by the way, incredibly impressive. Don't get me wrong. Incredibly impressive to win multiple championships in the NFL. But if you can win a championship at both the college level and the pro level, I don't know there's a more impressive thing as a head coach. They're just such different. And even like Jimmy Johnson, the difference between coaching at Miami in 87 and being the Cowboys coach and building that thing from the ground level in the early 90s, they're so different from each other, even now where it seems like they're similar, that if you've done both of those things, that to me is the highest honor that you can bestow upon a head coach, is acknowledging that.
Omaha!
Well, we already played a little bit of Kevin Stefanski's press conference earlier today. Mm-hmm. Here's the reaction. And it was heard on Baskin Phelps. Here's the reaction. Just coming out of the chute on fire from Baskin and Phelps coming out of the Stefanski interview.
Okay, thanks, guys. Kevin Stefanski's press conference right here on The Fan. And, of course, you know, we listen to him all the time. Jeff, what'd you get out of that? I wrote down a couple of notes on curious on your thoughts first.
All right, one, that is an unfortunate sound at the beginning of that.
I
know what it is, but if I didn't know what it is, it would sound like something else. It would sound like Andy Baskin did it. Two, do you think that Andy actually had things written down, or do you think he just wanted Jeff to start talking?
It's tough. Who's to say?
That's so much worse.
Who's to say? That
if Kevin Stefanski answered this way about DeJuan Jones, we would murder him for it in broad daylight. You
want me to get inside the head of my coworker? Is that what you're telling me to do?
I think you can make that. You know Andy. All right? Your members...
I can't get inside his head. I can't. If I can get a lot of people's head, I can't get inside Baskin's head.
It's a steel trap. He's now, like Magneto.
I did want to... He offered up his notes to you because you told him you were going to do this. He offered up his notes to you in between, and you fell short of being like, yes, I'd like to see him. Right. I wish you would have said, yes, I do want to see those notes.
So that would have answered. I should tell him to present... Okay.
He offered them.
Who's to say he didn't scribble those down at any other point?
It would have absolved him in my mind. If he would have presented you notes after... But you just kind of like laughed it off and made it be what it was. If he would have presented you notes, that was his way of getting out of it in many ways.
You can't fake notes.
So what you're telling me is that you think that he didn't have anything is what you're telling me.
No. I'm asking a question.
Well, I asked it right back to you. I asked it right back to you.
I can't until you officially answer.
I don't have an answer on my coworker. It's not sitting on my fence. It's playing on the fence of...
You're pleading the fifth. This is not a court of law.
Yes, in many ways.
This is not a court of law.
Yes, in many ways.
You are under oath.
I am not under oath.
I want the truth.
I don't have to make this anything as far as Andy Baskin's. I think he's done a wonderful job on these airwaves.
Answer
for like 15 years. That man has
what
been at the middays.
Suit I work with
at
every
the
day.
Helm at the middays.
What an absolute
he is a
corporate
bastion
kiss
in this community.
Is Ken Carmen here?
He is about as well respected in the sports media landscape as you can find.
I mean, bought several local Emmys. All of them are bought, by the way. Just so we're clear, there's Jonathan Peterlin said that last one.
Omaha! Travis Hunter has played 61% of Jacksonville's offensive snaps. He's played 37% of the snaps on defense. Are you surprised that this is the mix-up? He's basically reached together one total player by splitting between the two. He has not had much of an impact, though, and only one of his nine catches got Jacksonville a first down, and on defense, he's got no interceptions, one pass defensed, and three combined tackles.
Love this kid's vibe, but he's swimming right now, and he knows it. He's drowning right now, and I know it because I can't remember who the receiver was in week two. It might have been Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase just toasted him, and Chase is already out of bounds, going out of bounds, and Travis Hunter like swiped at him, and I was like, oh, Travis, it's a little early to get this frustrated on this side of the ball. It's not good.
Yeah, we're going to let the record show. Deion is collapsing in Colorado. No longer has Shador. Travis Hunter collapsing in Jacksonville. No longer has Shador.
Shador can't see the field.
Was somebody the secret sauce? I don't know. You tell me. I mean, I'm not writing narratives here. I'm just saying it's quite the connection that is happening here.
What do you think? Do you think it's more likely that Shador propped up Deion and Travis Hunter, that the three of them propped each other up, and that's why none of them have done anything without each other yet?
I don't know that. I think they both propped Deion up, if we're just being honest about it, more than it was anything that that Deion was doing. But yeah, the 61% of the offensive snaps, 37% of the defensive side. It's an interesting little mix.
I can't be the only one a little relieved that he's been bad. Right.
Well, you kind of have to be, right? In many ways, you kind of have to be. It stinks because you don't want to root for people to flat out be as bad as it's been. It's two games in. He can turn it around, but the early returns are not great.
A Guardians update on the Red Hot Guardians coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.